Psalms, and I don't know how long I'm going to be there. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, if you have your Bible. And, you know, just let me read the scripture first, then I'll talk to you a little bit. Psalm 19. We'll start with verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. We're going to put a title on it. Put the Word of God. The Word of God. Psalm 19. Verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and, I like that, and the honeycomb. He didn't just say honey. He said, just go ahead and get the honeycomb while you're in there. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Lord, help us tonight as we study for just a little bit. Lord, I pray for those that didn't come tonight. Lord, if they were hindered because of sickness, you'd heal them. If it's sin, you'd deliver them. And then, Lord, those that are struggling tonight, I pray you'd have mercy on them, especially Sister Hazel and Edward there in the hospital, if they're still there, and others. And then, Lord, we wouldn't be saved tonight if you hadn't sent your word, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So we pray tonight you would enlighten us through your word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the word of God is not thought much of anymore. It's not, even in churches, it's not mentioned much anymore. It really isn't. Even in churches. A lot of stories told, and a lot of sports figures premiered, you know, and great singers premiered, and great people of great fame in churches. But you don't hear much about the Word of God anymore. The Word of God. I'm talking about the infallible, inerrant Word of God. We used to complain about our public universities that they had been infiltrated by socialists and communists, and now we see the results of that. They have. This generation, Antifa, BLM, and all that, those are people that went to those public colleges. And so we complained about that. But now our Bible colleges and seminaries have been infiltrated by communists and unbelievers and socialists. And now you hear preaching on social justice in the pulpit. You hear preaching on fairness and equality and things like that. But why don't we just get back to the Word of God and let the Word of God fix things like it used to? Amen? This passage, there's three things I want to show you concerning the Word of God in this passage. I love this passage. I always have. When we did children's church, Sunday school, Awana and camp, things like this, is one of my favorite verses to get kids to memorize passages. Now, there's six names are used and six different statements are made with regard to the Bible in this passage of scripture. Six. Now, number one, it says, it is the law of the Lord. Did you see that? The law of the Lord. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. That means it's without error. Yes. There's no shadow of turning. There's no debate. The law of the Lord, the Word of God, is perfect. No honest person can read the Bible and say they found mistakes in it. I've been witnessing to people before, or sometimes having a debate, and they would say, well, the Bible's full of errors. I say, show me one. Show me one. And did you know I've never had anybody show me one? Never. I've never had anybody show me an error in the Bible. And I always say, the error is not in the Bible, it's in your life.
Right.
Amen. That's where the problem is. It ain't the Bible. Amen. The Bible proclaims itself to be perfect. Yeah. Now, only God's Word, the Word of God, can say that. There's no other perfect book in this world. There's no other perfect writing. There's nothing as close to perfection as the Word of God is. And by the way, I believe in preservation of the perfect Word of God. I think if God wrote a perfect book, don't you think He can keep it perfect?
Amen.
And yet I went to a Southern Baptist school where they taught me that the Word of God's no longer perfect. It was in its original writings when Paul wrote it down, or Matthew wrote it down, or Ezekiel or Isaiah. But then as it was rewritten and rewritten, see, they copied by hand. They said every time a different scribe would copy it, he'd make mistakes. And now we got a Bible full of mistakes. And the only perfect Bible is the original writings. I said, well, your God ain't strong as mine. My God not only wrote a book, He can keep it. Amen. And why would you say that and teach in Bible college? Why would you say that and claim to be a believer in the Bible? Now, I'm talking about the pulpits are full of these people now. And they'll jump on me on Facebook. And I'll say this. I'll say, they say we need to retranslate it, we need to rewrite it, need it modernized and all these things. Language is changing and all these things. And I always say, yeah, language is changing, it's dumbing down.
Amen.
The King James Bible is perfect English.
Amen.
Did you know it's written in such a way it's easier to memorize the King James Bible than it is any other Bible? When people quote scripture, what do they quote? King James Bible. When they quote the 23rd Psalm, what scripture, what version do they quote from? The King James Bible. Because it's in a poetic form, and it's in a royal form. It's in a grand form. And God's preserved that. And I don't think you ought to dumb it down. Amen. God's not going to dumb it down. The Word of God, He says it right here. The Word of God is perfect. Now you can't change perfection. Couldn't get better. How are you going to make it any better? And then I always say to those people, and let me ask you something. Who are we going to appoint to retranslate it? If we're going to rewrite it and we're going to update it, who is going to be in charge of that? Is it going to be that homosexual woman that's married to another woman that helped translate the NIV? The law of the Lord is perfect. It doesn't need to be retranslated. It needs to be relived. Amen?
Amen.
And then it says this. It says in verse 7 again. It says the testimony of the Lord is sure. Did you know that the Word of God is the testimony of the Lord?
Yes.
Do you know what a testimony is? A testimony is the proclamation of one's life. Or what one has seen. Or what one has experienced. You understand me? When you go to the court and they say, we got this guy, he's going to give his testimony of what he saw. You understand what I'm saying? Well, this is God's testimony. This is what God wanted to say.
Amen.
To me and you.
Amen.
If you ever hear people say this, what would Jesus do? Well, let's get the Bible and see.
Yeah.
Well, how would God feel about that? Well, let's get the Bible and see. I don't know. I'm not God. Let's get His testimony and see what He says about it. Well, what does God think about homosexuality? Well, I don't know. Let's ask Him. Let's read His Word and see what He says. Well, what does God say about racial problems? I don't know. Let's read the testimony from God Himself. Amen?
Amen.
And He says this. It is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. I like that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice this. In verse 7, he says, It is sure. That means unchanging, solid. What does it do? It makes the wise the simple wise. Simple people like me and you can have the wisdom of God simply by reading the Word of God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
We don't have to go to Dr. Doolittle or Dr. Fauci or Dr. anybody, you know. All we got to do is go to Dr. Jesus, read the Word of God, and it'll make us simple people wise.
Yes.
Sometimes people say, well, man, how do you know that? I say, I didn't know it until I read the Bible. I didn't know it. And look, it's solemn. This is a solemn thing. The testimony of the Lord. That's not something that we laugh about or we make fun of. It's solemn and it's earnest. And the Word of God is insistent. It insists on things. It doesn't ask you if you want to do it or maybe if you feel like it or if you feel led or what did the latest vote say? What's the poll say? Hey, the Word of God insists that you do some things.
Yes.
And nobody likes that anymore. And then he says, it's the statutes of the Lord and they are right. You know what statutes are? There's a statute out here on this road. You can't go over 45 miles an hour. That includes me and you, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
That's the law. That is, it is written. That is, it has been determined. It's set in writing. It's a statute. And the Word of God is settled and it's set in writing and it's been determined. And it's our duty to obey it.
That's right.
It's not, we'll go and look at it. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure and light. The statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoice in the heart. That's obeying Him will make you happy. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now listen, that commandment, that's not a suggestion. It has, a commandment is, has all the backing of the power and the presence of a holy God.
Amen.
A pure and a perfect God. That's a commandment.
Amen.
And that's what the Word of God is. This is not some little funny book you can flip through and find anything you want to. Man, most people treat it like it's some little nothing that they can just pick little verses out of, you know, and put them on Facebook and boy, it's with little kittens and little puppy dogs, you know, and little trees and all this stuff. No, the commandment of the God is severe. It's a holy God talking, man. And then he says it's pure. Pure. You know what that means? According to this, this is pure water. I can see through it. It's undefiled. Pure water. And this word, hey, look, this Word of God, it says that it is pure and that it enlightens eyes. Brother Ed's having a lot of trouble with his eyes. Y'all pray for him. But I guarantee he sits up there and he listens to Alexander Scorby read the Word of God. And his eyes may be getting dimmer, but his soul's getting lighter every day.
Amen.
Matter of fact, you may see things more clearly now than you've ever seen them. Amen.
Yes.
What was that lady that wrote all those hymns and had to change her name three or four times?
Fanny Crosby.
Fanny Crosby. How many did she write? 800. And since she could only have so many copyrights, she had to write them under pen names on some of them, not her real name. She wrote some of them under pen names. And look, the Word of God will enlighten you. It'll open those blinded eyes. Remember, Paul there on the road to Damascus, and he's going to have some Christians killed, man. He knows he's right, and he's got it settled, and he thinks he's obeying God, and the Lord shows up and knocks him down and says, wait a minute, what did he knock him down with? Light. Light. And it was so bright, It blinded him.
Yeah.
And then he said, go down to what street? The street called. That's why we say he went straight.
Amen.
Amen. The day I got saved, I went straight.
Amen.
Went down to the street called straight. Didn't have to come out of a closet. Amen. I'm straight in more ways than one. And then that old preacher said, Lord, don't send him in my house. He kills people that believe like I do. That's what he said. He said, you just lay hands on him. I've chosen him. And he laid hands on him and the scales fell off and he could see. And you know why that happened? Because he obeyed the word of God. God told him what to do. He did it. And God enlightened him.
Amen.
You didn't understand salvation. I didn't understand it. When you first get, people that get saved don't understand salvation. No. I had no idea what salvation was. I thought I did. But then that day that I surrendered to him and he saved me, all of a sudden the light came on. I was blind, now I could see. And by the word of God, whole Lord, that's how I knew it. That preacher preached the word of God, and he preached every time I'd show up, he'd preach the word of God. And that day, when I surrendered to the will of God, I didn't understand it, but I surrendered to it and said, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong, save me. Boom! He enlightened me, and that happened by the word of God. The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Look, it's the word of God that enlightens us. You want to know why people argue with you about Christianity? They've never been enlightened. The light has never been turned on. You know why? They won't surrender to the word of God. And then look at this. He said in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. You want to get cleaned up? Start fearing the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And people say, well, we ought not fear the Lord. Well, love me, loved us. Yeah, but it's fear that drove you to him. That's right. A lot of people say, well, I got saved because they told me that Jesus loved me. No, you got saved because you thought you was going to hell and they said Jesus loved you. And if you'd come to him, you could be saved. But you got saved from fear, not love. It's fear that drove you to the love of Christ. You were afraid of dying and going to hell, so you turned to Christ, who he said if you just called, he'd answer. And you saw the love of Christ because you turned to him out of fear of the word of God. And he's, boy, I like that. But look what he says. It's clean and it enduring forever. Enduring forever.
Yes.
Did you know that the fear of the Lord, when we get to heaven, we're still going to fear him?
Absolutely.
You ain't seen fear yet. Wait till we get to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to fall down.
Amen.
We're going to be like Mephibosheth. Who am I? Why would you even look on me, a dead dog, such as I am? Amen. We'll be weeping and crying, scared to death. And he'll say, get up. You're my child.
Amen.
But hey, it endures forever. And what brings that? Look at verse 9 again. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The truth and the righteousness of the word of God is what exposed our sinfulness and our unrighteousness and our untruth.
Yes, sir.
It's getting worse every day. It's getting worse every day. I didn't want to hear the truth. Nobody does. Listen, that future that said the other day, their church don't teach doctrine, their church doesn't teach Bible stories, their church don't do this, don't do that. Their church is all about evangelism. Well, you can't have evangelism without truth. You can't have evangelism without fear of the Lord. Hey, look, you can't have evangelism without truth and righteousness altogether. So if all you're doing is telling people that God loves them and if they'll come up here and pray, they can go to heaven, you've left out truth and righteousness. God does love them, that is truth, but that's not the whole truth. They're unrighteous and he loves them anyway.
Yes.
But they're not going to heaven unrighteous. They've got to come to Christ and let him make them righteous so they can go to heaven.
Yes.
We don't have any righteousness of our own. It's His righteousness. And the Word of God is what taught us that truth about the judgment of God, which is righteous. And God would be right to cast every human being that was ever born into the lake of fire.
That's right.
We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, I'm not bad, so and so. It only takes one sin to classify you as a sinner. Man. And then he says this, oh, I like this, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Right.
That rich man said, boy, I got so much stuff. I'm just going to tear down my old barn. I'm going to build me some new barns and fill that up. And I'm going to sit back and say, eat, drink, be merry. And God said, thou fool.
Yeah.
Tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. My goodness. Hey, this is more valuable than gold.
Yes,
it is. There's people in other countries right now would give an arm or a leg to have a Bible. There's people, Brother Ed, in other countries that would give both their eyes to have the Word of God in their hands. And our nation's cast it aside, and our politicians have cast it aside. And what they don't know is, and by the way, follow the money. The root of all evil is money, and all this politics is about money coming from China. But follow the money, you'll see what the problem really is. It's not Trump, it's not COVID, it's money. And these politicians think they're gonna get all this money, and they've gotten a lot of that money. But, I got news for you, Nancy Pelosi. You're 79 years old. Your days are numbered. What you going to do with it then? Amen. Amen. I got news for all of them. Amen. Now listen. Look, it's more to be desired than gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Oh my goodness. Listen. Psalm 23 verse 3 says, He restores my soul. It converts the soul.
Yes.
We just read in Psalm 19 that the Word of God makes the wise simple, makes the simple wise, but Psalm 119:30 says it makes the wise simple. Mm-hmm. Psalm 119 verse 162 says it rejoices the heart. Ephesians 1, and turn there, I don't want to misquote, Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Now you listen to me. The Word of God enlightens us by the power of God, and it gives us the riches of His glory, and we have an inheritance in heaven that can't be corrupted, and it's undefiled. And let me give you, and we're going to get Sister Betty out here in time to listen to Camilla. And Psalm 105, if you will. Psalm 100, verse 5. In verse 5 says, For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Did you know the Word of God endure forever? When those perverts and weirdos and crazies, and I hate to use all these bad names, but that's the way they act and dress and look. When all these infidels are dead and in hell, the Word of God will still be here.
That's right.
Amen. Many have stood up and blasphemed the Word of God and said it's not true and it's all fairy tales, and they're dead and gone now, and the Word of God is still here. It was here before you got here, and it'll be here when you're long gone. Matter of fact, it was here before anybody got here. It's the Word of God. It was in heaven. God Himself had it in Him. Amen. And then when it's all done and the earth melts with a fervent heat, and the heavens roll back like a scroll, and we're standing out there on nothing, the world will be judged by the Word of God. Everybody in it?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It endures forever. I like that. It's not just a doctrine. It's a fact, Mr. whatever his name is, Futrick. It's not just a doctrine. It's a fact. And if we believe that fact, then we are witnesses and examples to what the Word of God can do and will do.
Yes, sir.
1 Peter chapter 1. Let's get back there if we can. And I'm about to quit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. I hear Camilla now. 1 Peter chapter 1. I guarantee you there won't be no word of God coming out of that one. 1 Peter chapter 1. Preacher, you ought not get political. I ain't got political. I'm just telling you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. You weren't born of that corrupt, born again. You were born by corruptible seed.
Yeah.
David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. You were born sinner. You were born corrupted. But he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Well, I like that.
Yes.
For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth away. Seasons, it comes and goes. People come and go, flowers come and go. But the word of God, of the Lord, endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It endureth forever. Now, because of that, I think the Bible deserves some things. I got my first Bible. I might have still been 23. I was 23 when I got saved. My wife had a Bible she'd been given to as a child or something. It was a Revised Standard Version. They use it in Presbyterian church. Probably still do. But we'd be in Sunday school, and the teacher would be reading the scripture out for King James, and this version would leave things out, and it's down at the bottom. It'd say older and better manuscripts don't include verse such, 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 such. And I thought, well, who made that decision? And so I said, I want a Bible like my pastor. He preaches out of King James Bible. I want a Bible like my pastor. So my wife took me to the Bible store. It was called Shepherd's Fold. It's still up there, but back then it was in an old house on the corner up there, old house. Y'all remember that? You gotta be old to remember that. And I don't remember the guy's name that run it, but he must have been 1,000 years old. He looked old the first time I ever saw him. He had white hair, and he'd always come out and say, peace. And he was a charismatic Methodist or something. I don't know what it was. He's always trying to get people to speak in tongues. So we're looking at books, you know, and I tell them I want a Bible. So you, those bookstores, you know, they got the Bible of the Month thing, you know. Whichever the publisher's putting out, they're pushing it. You know, it's a bookstore. That's how they make money. That's, by the way, that's why they make new translations, is to make money. And so he's showing me this Good News for Modern Man, NIV, all kind of junk, you know. And my wife just stopped what she's doing. She come over and she said, he won't say King James Version, Thomas Nelson, Center Column Reference Bible. And he stopped and looked at her. I didn't know to ask for it. So he got me a Thomas Nelson Publisher, King James Bible, Center Column References, and boy, I'm talking about, it was like giving water to a man in the desert. I took that thing home and I read it. My wife showed me how to use the references. I didn't even know how to use a reference. You know, you're going along, you're reading scripture, and beside one word, it'll have an A or a B or a C, and then in down the middle, it'll have that A or B, and it'll tell you turn to another scripture that kind of goes along with that or the same thought, you know. So I'd turn to it, and then I'd be reading that, you know. If it had a letter, I'd look over, and I'd turn to it. And man, I went through that whole Bible using those center column references and just eating it up. Just like water to a thirsty man. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And I thought that day, the Bible deserves more respect than people give to it.
Amen.
And I began to notice things. People would go to church, didn't even carry a Bible. I thought, well, why would you go to church and not carry a Bible? And people come to Sunday school and not have a Bible. And I thought, well, why would you come to Sunday school and not have a Bible? You know. And then I began to see they had all these different translations and they began to read them, you know, and they didn't agree with what my Bible says a lot of time. But then I thought, my Bible deserves a lot of honor and a lot of respect. It deserves to be valued, as it says, more than gold. It deserves to be desired more than gold. People come to this church, don't care about them. And they'll lie sometimes. Some of them tell the truth. Sometimes they'll lie. They have that little phone. They'll say they're looking at you, you know, and they say they're looking at the Bible, but I don't know if they are or not. And besides that, you can't do this to that phone.
That's right. Amen.
Just something about holding the Word of God, not a machine in my hand. And it deserves that respect. We'll teach our children respect the Bible. We taught ours to respect the Word of God. We taught our children to read the Word of God. It deserves to be loved and delighted like eating honey in the honeycomb. This ain't something you punish your kids and say, well, go read 10 verses out of the Bible. Go read 10 chapters out of the Bible. You've been bad. No, you teach them to love the Bible. Teach them to love to read it. Now, what you're going to do, you're going to make them hate to read it. That's how I got punished growing up. My daddy made me read the Bible when I was bad. Well, why didn't he talk to you about reading it when you wasn't bad? Because he didn't know either. It deserves to be studied, but not only studied, obeyed. This book needs to be obeyed. And if we do that, our minds will be enlightened. Our lives will be illuminated. Our spirits will be empowered, and God can use us again. People go out here on Sunday. They did this past Sunday when the Lord shows up, and they'll say things like, "Well, that was the best sermon I ever heard," or "That's the best." The problem is you just hadn't heard many sermons. But anyway, but they'll go out here bragging on my preaching. I said, "No. No, if you got anything out of it, it was God. It's the Word of God that enlightened you. It's the Word of God that strengthened you. It's the Word of God that encouraged you. It's the Word of God that blessed you. It's the Word of God that opened your eyes and your mind and your heart and your spirit. It's the Word of God that empowers you to go out there and live for the Lord. No preacher can do that. Now, he uses us as instruments. I'm just an instrument. Like John the Baptist, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's all I am. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you the sad thing, that more people don't bring their children to hear the Word of God and their grandchildren. If it's what changed their life, why wouldn't it change their children's life? Don't they want their children's lives changed? Do they not understand that their children are going down the same path they went down? That kid can get on his phone or her phone and look at TikTok all day long. Read all kind of junk on all kind of Facebook or websites. Listen to all kind of ungodly music. Even get entrapped by sexual perverts and things. But they let them have a phone. And they encourage them to use it. But then when they come to church, the few times the children come, they don't say, "Now you need to bring your Bible." They don't say, you know, "Every day you need to read." What's wrong? Lost their reverence for the Word of God. They've lost their love for the Word of God. Well, if it wasn't for this thing right here, this ain't the mess we'd be in. There's a lot of people in a mess right now, and the only difference between us and them is this right here.
Amen. Amen.
I thank God for the Word of God. We're going to use the Bible, King James Bible.
Amen.
As long as I'm here, we're going to, we're going to lift up the Word of God.
Right.
We're going to brag on it.
Yes.
I don't have any fancy programs or people that I can bring to you to replace the Word of God. It'd be a waste of time if I did. Old country preacher, you know, he used to, and I've told y'all this over and over, and I read this somewhere, I don't know where I read it, but said somebody was talking to the old preacher, you know, said, "You really believe that old Bible?" And they say he picked up his Bible, he said, "Yeah, I believe it from kibber to kibber." He said, "I even believe the kibber where it says Holy Bible." That means holy book. If our nation get back to that, and I think it's crept into the White House, Brother Holbrook.
Yes.
Now, I'm not real happy about some of the so-called preachers he's got coming in there. Mm-hmm. Women preachers and strange, but I'm glad the Word of God's crept into the White House. It's gotten back in. Now we need it back in the House of Representatives, Congress. We need it back in the Senate. Amen? But most of all, we need it back at our house. Need it back at the house. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your inerrant word. Thank you that it's going to live forever. It'll be here when I'm gone. But I want to thank you it's alive, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's not a dead book. It's not a comic book. It's not a commentary. It is the living word of God. Help us to lift it up here, God. Help our folks get their children back in it, their homes back in it, Lord. And then meet with us this Sunday as we lift up the Word of God. Save some sinner. Reclaim some backslider. Bless you, saints, God. Encourage those that are discouraged. Lift up the fallen. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.